life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain.
Thanks for listening. Brian Smith and Anthony Askew here on episode 71 of Dynamite in the Brain, the podcast that loves anime and hates fun. It is December the 2nd, 2012. And joining us today is Aaron Long.
Hello.
Woo!
And I've written a date in there.
I know, the date.
Hearing this is the 8th of December. But we're recording it on the 2nd.
Cheeky monkeys.
Yes. I've let daylight in upon magic. You can see the man behind the curtain. Okay, and we are here to talk another 2002 anime. It is Lupin the Third. Episode 0, First Contact, an exceedingly long title for a Lupin the Third TV special.
Yeah.
But first, our regular features. UK anime releases for this week. There is Hatalia Series 4.
Whoop-de-doo. Sorry, but whoop-de-doo.
I think at that point I'd forgot, I hadn't even realised there was a full series.
Exactly.
I thought there was only a couple or something.
I think there's a fifth one about to start next year.
Oh, wow. Yeah, they're really going on with that. I don't think I've seen any past the first one. And I wasn't a huge fan of it. I like the political stuff, but I've heard that kind of gets less and less as it goes on.
I watched the first series has got a lot. The second's got less. The third sort of brings it all back a bit.
Oh, okay. I think I heard people's reactions to the second one, and I decided I wasn't interested in seeing more.
Actually, I'm not even sure there are full Thor series. Maybe the schedule I was reading was off.
Ooh, dodgy info.
Dodgy info, yes.
Black market info. But yeah, I've seen the first episode of Hatalia. No deal. No deal for me. I'll nip that one in the bud as quickly as it came around.
Did you watch the dub, though?
I did.
Yeah, well,
does that matter?
Might be the mistake. Yeah,
I saw the dub and I didn't like the dub.
There's different jokes in that. It's one of these. It's a Funimation dub, so
these just they do whatever the hell they want.
Yeah, they write their own jokes for it.
Well, that's some redemption on it, but I don't know.
I would just say season 4. So there you go.
Hatalia fans would know.
Yeah, and there's also Hatalia series 1-3. Same time.
See, I thought that's already been out, or they just like re-released it as a box set rather than
released a box set of all three.
Just a repackaging.
Yeah, I think just so you can buy the whole lot for somebody for Christmas, I would imagine.
Mm. I'll be very upset if somebody buys me that for Christmas. I'll be very upset. I'll be shocked more than anything else that somebody would buy me any anime for Christmas, but.
I as Chu said, I do quite like it when it's being where it's sort of being extremely obscure geopolitical references or historical references. It's just when it kind of uses gay innuendo as a crutch.
Yeah, that was what I wasn't a huge fan of.
Yeah, I think he's very guilty of that on the second series, but I'd say the third. I saw of that. It kind of opened it out a bit with less of the main characters and more of the more obscure countries.
Okay. I might check out a bit of the third series then.
And finally, Anthony's favourite anime.
Well, I've never seen it, but I've seen it without any audio when I edited it for an AMV, so... I don't know what happens in it, what it's all about, but it looks good. It does look good. So, I don't know. If you want to check it out, I've heard all right things, but...
That's about the extent of my knowledge of it, too. It looks good, but I have no idea what it's about.
It looks like somebody went to holiday in Western Ireland and decided to animate their holiday scenes and weave a very slight science fiction story. Using elements from various things you've seen before.
See, I wouldn't know about how the story works. I just took visual stimulus to kind of guess what was going on.
You really captured the feel of the show, didn't you, Anthony, in that episode?
I probably did. I probably did, and probably did a better job than, because I keep getting comments on that video on YouTube and like, that was awesome. And I'm like, oh, well, I'm pleased like it, but never seen the show. Sorry. So Fractale fans probably love this, obviously. But yeah, I'll pass on this. I've got it downloaded. I'm going to burst your bubble out there, listeners. But yeah, I've downloaded it and I'll never watch it, I don't think. Nothing happens in 10 episodes, I swear to God. I was looking for content over the course of all the episodes, and there's a big chunk in the middle where there's nothing worth watching, at least it seems. So that's my thoughts, and I've not even seen it.
Probably goes for a lot of shows.
Mm. Mm.
So that's your lot. That's all there is this week. I think there is a bumper week next week, though. I think there's a surprising amount of stuff that released at last minute.
What, in time for Santa, or...?
Yeah, this happens in the DVD market, from my experience when I was at Videolog, when ADV was still a going concern. They'd deleted the Sonic release they had. They had a DVD which had Sonic the Hedgehog on it. I can't
remember. No, they deleted it.
Well, yeah, they deleted it. But...
I love Sonic.
Then, after they put out this deletion message, and we'd removed it from the database and saying, not available anymore, they had a call from the American office saying, we need something out for families to buy at Christmas. Re-release that Sonic title. yeah, so that it's a rush. People, everyone's trying to grab some of the Christmas market.
Mm. But you'll have to listen to next week's episode to hear those releases. Can't spawn them now.
I won't. I can't remember what they are, but I just remember there's a lot of them.
Mm.
Right, so on to our second feature. Aaron, what you watch?
What you watch?
Let's see. I've been watching this series. I have no idea how to pronounce it. I think it's Gosensosama Banbanzai or something. It's directed by Mamoru Oshii. It's the 6-episode OVA from the late 80s. And I was initially interested in seeing it because it had a lot of connections to Urusei Yatsura, apart from Oshii himself. The cast is pretty much all regulars from that series, like Ataru and Sakura, and Cherry is the narrator. So that was one of the reasons I wanted to see it. And it's also got really nice animation. There's some pretty big names who worked on it, like Tatsuyuki Tanaka and Shinya Ohira did some animation for it. But the story is really strange. Or not the story so much, but the writing style. There's like really long monologues by all of the characters where they get into like philosophical discussions, which is, you know, par for the course with Oshii, I guess. But it also has some of the other, like, I think this series, more than any of the other Oshii stuff I've seen, sort of reconciles all the different things he does the best. It has some of the early slapstick stuff he did, and then it's got some of that quiet, atmospheric stuff that he would do in like Angel's Egg or Beautiful Dreamer, and then the Ghost in the Shell style ranting about philosophy.
Yeah, I've seen a bit of it, and you're right, the monologues, and also some of how the monologues are shot. It does seem very theatrical.
Yeah, I think it's based on some kind of traditional Japanese theater or something, but I don't know anything about that, so it doesn't mean that much for me. But I enjoyed the series a lot. It was one of the weirdest series I've ever seen, I think, just because of that whole monologue theater style. But it was fun. Yeah.
Yeah, you're not wrong about it being Urusei Yatsura get together again. It's even Koji Nanki on the openings.
Yeah, exactly. He did the credits.
Even Shigeru Chiba who's the narrator on Fist of the North Star, Megane on Urusei Yatsura, Boogie on One Piece. He was sound director on it. But,
The sound direction is really funny. It's like a Looney Tunes cartoon or something. They deliberately use the wrong sound effects. Like a guy is reading a newspaper in the first episode, and he has some... hears something that shocks him, and he pulls the paper apart, and it shatters like glass. It's, I don't know, it's... doesn't sound that funny, but it's pretty good in the actual show.
Anything else? Or
I saw Wreck-It Ralph a couple of weeks ago.
What's it like?
I liked it a lot. It was pretty fun. I think it was probably my favorite Disney movie in at least 10 years. Isn't saying too much. I haven't been a fan of their stuff recently, but I'm not sure whether I actually liked it because it was better than the other stuff they've done lately, or whether I just, you know, because the superficial things, like they're making video game jokes and they had John C. Reilly as the main guy. But anyway, whatever reason, I did enjoy it a lot.
No, we have not seen it because it's a Disney release, and that means we're not getting it until the 15th of February, 2013.
No way, is that when it's out here?
Oh, that's insane. That's like 4 months late.
That's a short one. I had to some waits we've had for Pixar stuff in the past.
Whatever excitement I've had is now just diminished.
Why do they do
gone?
That? It's got to cut into their profits. I mean, people probably start downloading it after they.
Oh yeah, as soon as I'm. Yeah, first thing I do. No, it would be a good Christmas. I imagine could pass as a Christmas film ish, maybe.
15th, yeah. I bet 15th February is half term though, so.
Oh, okay then.
But I don't know. Disney move in mysterious ways.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah, they certainly do.
In terms of releases, and removing things from DVD release after so long, and then waiting 3 years before they come out again.
What, like all the classic stuff that they've.
Yeah, I mean, they're very in control of all the classic animation stuff. But when I was at Videolog, they handed over all, but it seemed all at least the old live action stuff like Computer War, Tennis Shoes,
a classic,
That Darn Cat, all that live action, all those sort of. Non-classic live-action stuff handed over to I don't know if it's Optimum or Elevation Sales, but it was the same people who do the Ghibli stuff in the UK.
Optimum.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, so they were handling all that side of things. So, and they'd like ploughed massive amounts of those titles out in one go, in completely the opposite of how Disney were handling everything else. And then they had Touchstone Pictures as well, which handled things entirely. It was all through Buena Vista Home and Entertainment at the time.
Do they still exist?
I don't know if they still do exist.
I've not seen one of those things for a while on those Splash things. Yeah.
Since then. Hmm. But yeah, they are quite strange. So, Anthony, what you watch?
What I watch has been quite a lot, actually. I did start watching Yu Yu Hakusho, and I'm only about 4 or 5 episodes in. Just taking it slow, and it's, I don't know, because I never knew what I wanted it to be and never knew what to expect from it. But as I say, it's early days. At the minute, it just seems pretty typical, because I was wanting fighting and stuff like that, and at the moment, they're just still on Earth. I don't know if you have seen it, know the story at all.
I've never seen it.
Oh, I don't know if I've seen it, but I've read articles.
Basically, a guy gets run over. He's caught between the real world and the spirit world, and he's trying to get his body back. At least that's what's happening at the moment. But then they start fighting demons and stuff, I gather. So that's what I'm looking forward to. But yeah, it's all right. It's all right. It's pretty funny. I'll stick with it just because I've got it all ready to watch, so why not? On top of that, I finally, totally not animated, but I finally started watching Breaking Bad. And it's pretty good. It's pretty good. I don't know if any of you have seen this.
I haven't seen it. I did see 5 minutes, but not enough to hook me.
I was hooked after like 2 seconds. Everything just, I don't know, maybe it's because I was hyped for it originally and then never got around to watch. But yeah, that's good. Great TV show. And I finally watched Basketball as well. Finally watched it. I can't remember what triggered it, but ended up watching Basketball. I don't really like South Park, and I prefer those. Yeah, I'm not big on South Park. I've kind of go in and out of it where I'll not appreciate the humor that they do, and then other times it'll just like sink into place and I will really like it. Whereas I know I like those two doing stuff like this, because this was more like a, you know, more slapstick, and I find slapstick funnier than being something like really offensive. So, but no, I really liked it, and I didn't think we'd
live
up to
their live-action stuff that they've done.
Yeah, so I'm going to have to check out. Is it Orgasmo or whatever it's called?
Yeah, Orgasmo's pretty funny. It's very deliberately offensive, though.
See if it's... I'll check it out, but I don't know if I like it as much as Basic at Ball, then.
You can get Trey Parker's student film, Cannibal the Musical, or Alfred Packer Musical, depending on what it's packaged as.
I'll check that out as well.
Yeah, the Troma release of that was really good. It has... It's absolutely packed with extras and has a commentary track where they just drink all the way through.
Oh, yeah, they do that on, I think, Orgasmo too.
Brilliant.
They start out sober and by the end they're completely hammered.
Sober, get fully drunk, and then by the end of Cannibal, at least, they're... Trey Parker's quite a sad drunk by the end.
See, I genuinely think those two are absolutely hilarious. I wish South Park would just end, just move on to something else. I'd rather see, I don't know.
They want that too.
Well, they have moved on to something else.
What are they doing now?
Well, they what's their music?
The Book of Mormon.
That's it, yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's coming to the UK, if not already arrived. There was posters for it when I was there, so.
All right, oh well, I'll take back what I said. Well done, guys. Moving on.
Yeah. I think they do want South Park to end, too. They keep on, every interview I've seen in the past few years, they keep saying, oh, why do we keep signing up for more seasons? I just want it to end.
Because we've got to have plenty of money saved up in those pockets of this.
But I suspect keep on doing it also sort of gives them, is a continuing source of money which allows them to be able to do stuff they want to do without interference.
That's probably true.
I guess so. I suppose if they weren't as offensive in South Park, they might have more offers from other people to do stuff, so... It's a flip side of it all. But yeah, good game, guys. If they're moving on to something else, good. And that's what I've watched.
Okay, I've been watching... Well, I watched the first episode of Mikan Eneki, which I posted about on Awesome Mention, if you want to read more about it there, which is a show about a ginger cat from 1992 who can talk and write and likes to draw and also play the harmonica badly. And in the first episode, get liquored up. That's how his talking is discovered, because his owner hears something, goes down to check what it is, and finds the cat drinking, I think, fruit sake and talking at the top of his voice in the kitchen.
You say play the harmonica badly. Does anyone play the harmonica well? Have you thought about that?
It's pretty bad. The later episode I saw, which was where he follows his owner to school, and then which causes like absolute distress to his owner. It's like, what is my cat doing here? And I told him not to come here. Plus, he can talk, and then he sort of gets into the PA system and starts playing the harmonica over the.
What kind of voice does the cat have? Is it like a? Beefy voice, I don't know, like a...
No, it's like what you'd imagine a talking Japanese cat in a cartoon based on a shoujo manga would sound.
Oh, okay.
he's got a cartoony voice. But yeah, he kind of thinks something's up in the first episode because the cat whenever something funny happens, or something funny which a cat would find funny happens, then the cat makes a tiny little laugh. And he's going, did the cat laugh? Cat's cat. yeah, I reviewed it on my website. It's a bit slow compared to modern day stuff, but it's watchable. And the other thing I watched was this morning at 7 a.m. Get up bright and early to watch.
Really?
That's
dedication.
New Japan Pro Wrestling.
I thought you meant that morning TV show this morning with. That's what I genuinely thought you meant there, but okay.
Yeah, because they do show that on the weekends now, to make things weird. It was their World Tag League 2012 finals, which pretty much, it was reasonably fun. Not anything of great event happened, apart from it probably set up the World Tag title match on their big Tokyo Dome show on January the 4th. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. And it's good to see all these things straight away live and as they're happening rather than have to wait for tapes to come out or something to make a copy of it and upload it to the internet now. And you can actually you get to give the company some money as well.
Oh, so you actually bought it on the box office thing?
I bought it early, so I think it was 1,800 yen. So I think it worked out at about 20 quid.
Oh, bloody hell. Oh, I forget how expensive box office things are. Jesus. God.
That's still cheaper than you would be buying a WWE pay-per-view, I think.
Oh, probably, without a doubt, yeah. Yeah.
And the booking and wrestling's a lot better than it is in WWE. It all makes sense, and the performers are better. Yes, I'm looking forward to the January the 4th show. In fact, I'm tempted to take a day off, my first holiday straight away on January the 4th, so rather than watch the video on demand later on. There is an anime connection, because they're now owned by Bushiroad, the people responsible for the Card Fight Vanguard game and anime, and also, oh, was it Milky Homes anime, which Bradley's always going to make us watch. And yeah, they have like an intermission, and one of the intermission adverts this time round was the wrestlers advertising the Card Fight Vanguard.
Awesome.
And of course they brought...
So they pause in the middle to do commercials?
Yes.
The wrestlers?
Yeah, they're pre-filmed, but...
Right, yeah, so I thought you were like in the center, middle of the match... Ad time, guys.
Yeah, one of them is kind of like that. Sometimes they do have people come out and plug their DVDs. so they've got one of the announcers has this ongoing feud with one of the wrestlers. It's not really a feud. The wrestler just keeps on beating him up and stealing his shirt. And they've now put out a DVD of all the times this wrestler's beating him up and stolen his shirt. Plug in that break as well before the following match when he was beaten up and had his shirt stolen, and not only had his shirt stolen, he was then handcuffed to make sure he couldn't put a shirt back on again.
Bizarre. What you do with your Sunday mornings, Brian. Bloody hell.
Yes, that's why I got up bright and early for this morning. Right, let's move on to our main topic of the day, which is Lupin the Third, Episode Zero, First Contact. Right, who wants to have a go at summarising what this is? Do you want me to have a go? It's been a while since you've had a go, Anthony.
Oh, I can't do it. I can't do it. If I'd been remotely prepared for a synopsis, I would have done it, but oh God, pressure's on. Hot seat.
Right. Okay, what happens in this film is that Jigen is given an interview to a woman called Eleanor about how he and Lupin and Goemon and Fujiko all met. And so the bulk of the film is this tale of their first meeting in New York City. And Lupin is after, what's it called? It is already down here, The Clam of Hermes. Which is this scroll case containing a formula on a scroll for making an unbreakable metal, which apparently was much sought after during World War II. Also after this is a thief called Brad, who has a girlfriend.
I couldn't pronounce his name. But he came during his death scene, you hear Lupin's name going, Brad-o! It's so weird to, like, why would they name him something that they can't say properly?
You're breaking up a bit there, Aaron.
Is it back now?
I think you're okay now.
Okay. Yeah, I was just saying it's weird that they would name him something that they can't say without adding an extra syllable, because it makes his death scene so funny when it's supposed to be sad.
He was a crap character, let's be serious anyway. Brat. Yeah. Bloody Brad Swale. That's who I thought of as soon as he said Brad.
Does he dress in tassels, headband, with a hair? He was very 70s.
Well, Brad Swale does do the hacky sack thing, doesn't he? So possibly. I'm not even like kidding. Maybe he does.
Yeah, he also had a medallion, which was...
a medallion. You make it sound so glamorous.
Oh, yeah. He was full on. He looked like a hangover from the 60s into the 70s.
Yeah.
There's an old, I think, Daredevil villain called Angar the Screamer, who has very much the same look as Brad, for those people who want to visualise Brad. Except Brad was clean-shaven. He didn't go for the horseshoe moustache.
Well, that's his first mistake. One of them killed him off.
Anyway, this Clam of Hermes is in the possession of a mafioso called Galvez, who looks exactly like you'd expect an American mafioso in a Lupin the Third story to look.
Yeah. For once.
There's a particular shape of head that this sort of heavy tends to have. Mm. And normally some sort of scarring at somewhere on the face.
Yeah, he looks straight out of the 70s Lupin series. Which is good, because they never do.
No.
They just look completely generic.
Ah, you sound much better now. Talking of somebody who doesn't look like he comes out of a 70s Lupin thing is Galvez's henchman, Shades.
That guy.
Yeah, so Lupin tries to steal this Clam of Hermes, fails. Brad says he'll do it, but then manages to do it, but then he's murdered. So Fujiko seeks revenge. So that's two people brought into it. But the reason Lupin failed the first time is because there was somebody guarding the treasure. And that bodyguard was a man named Jigen, who is pretty much... He always seems to be the most in character all the time in any of these things, I think, Jigen.
Reading
the comic, he's the guy who sort of settles into the role you're familiar with in the cartoon the quickest in the strip. So I think he's the to be just sort of sitting around in a hotel room drinking, complaining about Lupin's plan, which tends to be his role in a lot of things.
I think he's maybe my favorite character.
Yeah.
Next to maybe Zenigata.
And I think there's no coincidence that he's the one who's kept his voice actor in the recast from the very original set of character actors. So Lupin is after the treasure, kind of seeking revenge for Brad as well. Fujiko is too. Then arrives in New York a Japanese metropolitan police detective called Zenigata, who is chasing after Fujiko, who's apparently done numerous crimes in Japan. But then eventually he gradually gets obsessed with chasing Lupin instead. Also, apparently you can't open this Clam of Hermes. There needs to be some sort of key, and the key's in the possession of a man called Hans Dollarhide, an art collector. And that key is less of a key and more of a sword, which turns out to be the Zantetsuken, the sword that Goemon uses throughout the TV series. And sure enough, Goemon turns up in New York looking for this sword. And then they all clash together against Galvez, Shades, and eventually that brings them
together.
Happy family. So had you seen this film before, either of you two?
Nay.
I'd seen it once when the DVD first came out, I think about a year ago or a year and a half, maybe. And I liked it a lot at the time. And so watch it again for this and to like it.
Yeah, I'd seen the fan sub and then I ordered the DVD, and I held up quite well, even though I hadn't quite remembered what the plot was. Before I rewatched it this time, I wrote down what I thought, what I remembered, and
oh, here we go. Let's hear it.
I think I got some elements of other specials mixed in with it. So I remembered that there was a MacGuffin and it had something to do with the sword, but I thought the MacGuffin was the sword itself, not the Clam of Hermes. But as it turns out, the sword is a MacGuffin for the second half of the series, the film. I remember that Lupin and Fujiko were trying to steal it. I'd completely forgotten about Brad.
Obviously. if you'd had a handlebar moustache, it would have been a forefront of your brain.
I knew that Goemon turned up trying to recover the sword. I knew that Jigen was guarding something at some point. I thought there was a double-crossing villain. There's not. I think that's from a different film, where there seems to be somebody... I thought there was somebody who seemed to be on their side. And in fact, I thought...
Remember, Shared or something?
No, I thought it was going to be George McFly.
That guy.
There is another special somewhere where Zenigata turns up with... teams up with an American cop, and it turns out that cop is actually the villain.
Something like that.
But yeah, it wasn't this one.
George McFly was a weird character.
Yeah, I liked him. I kind of liked him. I wanted more George McFly. He was good.
I don't quite understand why they named him the Back to the Future character, though. He's nothing like him.
Well, I don't know. He has to be taught by Zenigata how to be a cop again. So I think that's maybe why they picked the name, because he has to sort of man up, so to speak. So did you enjoy it? First, Anthony, since it's the first
time. I don't know. I'm sorry, but usually I can kind of at least conclude to some degree, but I felt so underwhelmed, at least for the first half of the film. I really didn't draw us in. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm not some like Lupin season pro. I've only seen a few things here and there, but it didn't pull us in like the others did. I didn't think the opening scene was as strong as what I was hoping it would be. So, you know, I don't know. Like, in the end, I like how it all comes together, and it does, like, you know, whether it's a true story or not, because obviously, spoiler at the end. Should we tell what happens at the end or not? Everyone went quiet there, but so I guess not. We'll not tell what happens at the end. But yeah, I don't know. I think in the end, it's all right, but I found it very average. It's not the, like, if I was to say, if somebody asked me, oh, what Lupin stuff should I check out, this would not be on the list.
I'd say watch some more specials, and it may well be.
See, that's the thing. Yeah. See, maybe I'm just, I've been conditioned with the good stuff so far, and then this was just an all right watch, nothing to write home about as such. But yeah, I was somewhat let down by it all. Part of it I liked, there was like some amusing moments, but nothing too new. It didn't feel as fresh as what I was hoped. I don't know. I mean, what can I expect, you know?
Right, it's 10 years old.
Well, there you go. Exactly. That doesn't help either. But it was all right. It was all right.
What about you, Aaron? Did you still enjoy it the second time around?
Yeah. Maybe not quite as much as the first time, because I knew it was going to happen. But, I mean, you already kind of know that they're going to all get together and stop the villain and stuff. Because I never really watched Lupin the story. I always... It's for the characters and the comedy, basically. And I thought they did pretty well with all the character interaction in this one. They gave all the characters like enough to do. Because one of the problems I have a lot of the time, they just get, you know, they get so caught up in trying to tell the story about the villain who's trying to get some magic thing that's going to help them take over the world. And it's this kind of Bond girl sort of, you know, person of the week who Lupin meets, and she takes up a lot of the screen time. And so they just leave enough time for all the characters to do their sort of one-dimensional shtick. But in this one, they all sort of... the way they played off each other was pretty good, I thought.
Yeah, it's handy that Fujiko gets to be the Bond girl in this one. There isn't one of those characters in there. Eleanor's basically at the start and the end. In fact, she comments that if she was interviewing Lupin instead of Jigen at the start, he'd just be trying to hit on her rather than the story. Which is pretty much par for the course in a lot of the other films. I also think a lot of the character design is pretty much, if not a Monkey Punch, it's at least within the spirit of the original two series.
Yeah, exactly.
There's not too many. I think Eleanor's probably the only one with TMS face. Even Shades, though his character design looks kind of ridiculous, I think he's, some shots he's got more of a Monkey Punch type design. We should talk about Shades at least. He looked, to me, I mean, the obvious point that people were going to say, he looks like Neo from The Matrix.
I was thinking more like a Steven Seagal kind of.
Well, yeah, the thing he reminded me of is from playing role-playing games, and it's kind of like if you were playing a modern-day role-playing game in the 80s.
Everyone would want to
look like their character is looking like. I want to wear sunglasses, French carrot, have loads of guns. Yay!
Yeah, I suppose it's at like the time it was released, he was everyone's dream. Bad guy, perhaps, whereas times have changed. Times are changing, thankfully.
Yeah, it seems a little cheesy now.
Yeah.
People still dress like that, though.
They do.
just you know, gotta mention that.
That is true.
Shades fan still alive, rocking that.
At least he wasn't wearing a fedora.
Oh, well, I'll tell you what, mate. Oh, God. Box ticked.
Leather trench coat. I will say one thing for him. He does point out that Fujiko will double cross Galvez if they work with her. However, he then forgets that when he teams up with her later in the episode.
He's not the brightest button.
Certainly. Stuff I really liked about the thing. I should say, if I liked it, I did like it again the second time around. It's been a very long time since I watched it, and I was pleasantly surprised by particularly the mecha design. So the cars, the safe, when they go into they break into that a couple of times. It's got all that very nice shiny look to it.
Metal.
Yeah, everything's chrome. That's the word I'm looking for. That sort of mecha design to it. And the there's lots of detail to it as well. We see an airport, they've sort of gone to the extent of sort of indicating all the panels on planes. And there's a bit where he's got a three-wheel truck. I meant to look at what sort of type it was. It gets cut in half.
Oh, yeah, you see all the
detail when it's driving along.
Yeah, they did do a good job on that stuff.
Yeah. And there's a lot of detail to the backgrounds, which kind of look like photo-referenced. But it does feel much more like New York than a lot of anime set in New York feels. To the extent that I looked up when Fujiko and Lupin go into the basement of a bakery, that the name of the bakery was Vesuvio Bakery, so I looked that up. And it was a real bakery. It's now closed.
Oh,
and it looks exactly like it does in the cartoon.
Oh, wow.
Should have made it a historical set just so that people could visit and go, oh, it's the bakery from First Contact.
We'll start Lupin the Third tours of New York.
So, half of the Lupin from the 80s seemed to be set in New York. When I was going through the third TV series from 1985 and the movie for a series of blog posts I was doing on them, it seemed like every other episode would be like Crisis in Manhattan or Manhattan Bridge Explosion thing. It's always something going on there. And it looks so different than this. It's like all... because it's the 80s, you know, everything's all neon and pink, and it's funny how different it is, even though it's the same series, the same city.
Yeah, it's the Miami Vice of...
I thought that's what New York was like. I thought it had all that kind of neon and...
Whereas the New York in this one kind of feels more like, almost like a 70s New York. It doesn't seem like... It seems like there's frequent blackouts, because...
Oh, it's very dark.
There's a lot of shadows.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah.
Going on there.
I don't know how shades can see a damn thing. It's... it's not practical. Not practical at all.
Which even becomes a plot point later on when Lupin points out that Jigen's adjusted his eyes, constantly adjusted to the darkness, so he's easily blinded. all the things I make a note of. Oh, I really liked the bit where Zenigata's in the sewers. And I think, Aaron, you'd posted a GIF of the bit before that when he's trying to get through the blockade.
Yeah, I really like the animation in that part. It's so...
What, when the guy's like holding them back and stuff.
And he's struggling to get past. And they put in this nice detail of Zenigata sort of accidentally pulling the guy's shirt off a bit as he's getting pushed back. I thought that part had really nice animation.
I liked that Goemon's idea of being inconspicuous is a few centuries out of date.
I'm sure one of the people in the crowd looks at him and
gives him
a bizarre look-ish anyway, but not bizarre enough, as I would expect. But I like Lupin in his disguises. I'm a sucker for someone who's in a disguise, and obviously Lupin's disguises are top-notch. They're pretty convincing, yeah. So... And I was, because the fact that obviously the audience knows it's him, it just gives me a constant smile. Because that's Lupin there, they don't know, but it is him. And I find that very
amusing. I was surprised. In the beginning scene, I thought the woman was going to be Fujiko, and then it turned out to be Lupin.
Is it Fujiko's actress doing the voice when it's Lupin in that woman's
scene? Oh, maybe. That would be why. I guess I thought that.
I don't think there's anybody else in the cast who'd be doing it. There's only one other female character. And,
She's rubbish. What's her name? Penny? No,
Eleanor.
Eleanor, where did I get Penny from? She looks like a penny. She looks like a penny.
The only other character we've not brought up so far is Detective Crawford.
Was he the boss?
Oh, sorry, Director Crawford, yeah, the NYPD chief, who is...
Oh, I liked this guy because at one point during the scene where he's chewing Zenigata, he just yells, "Shut up!" in English. It's so, like, unexpected. Because I should say it's in Japanese. There is no English dub for the listeners. So hearing that gratuitous English all of a sudden was pretty funny.
I think they handle the... We are going to be talking Japanese, but we're going to convince you this is an American city quite well. Between him throwing out the occasional English phrase to yell at Zenigata and the bit where Zenigata's trying to order a hamburger.
What about the taxi driver? Don't forget the taxi driver. With his baseball top on and baseball hat. He's a key character.
Oh, yes, he got some lines as well.
I forget what he says. Does he speak in English at that point? I don't know.
I can't remember. No, I don't think. But he's kind of like a comedy of manners in that Zenigata thinks that in New York, taxi drivers will get out and...
That bit's funny.
There's a few moments where he seems almost full-on Inspector Clouseau.
That hamburger scene, I think they ripped it off completely for the Pig Fan, the remake, just from the trailers.
Oh, right.
Doesn't they do the exact same routine of him trying to say hamburger? Oh, or is that some...
I wonder if that's actually in one of the Peter Sellers ones.
Oh, is it really?
I don't know.
I've only seen the first one.
Check. I've seen the second Steve Martin. And it's not as bad as people would make it.
I've seen some clips, and the clips alone had me in hysterics, so I should probably check it out, because anything ridiculous slapstick like that just cracks me up. So
I like Steve Martin a lot, but I don't know about the Pink Panther stuff.
I'm sure I don't even think he's sure about the Pink Panther stuff.
it's better than Bilko.
Oh, that film.
Never saw that.
I don't even know what to think about that film. It's not very good. Just forget it. Don't even have any hopes for it.
What else to make a note of? Oh, everything in this film blows up real easily.
Yes.
What do you mean? The tiniest bit of, I don't know, a little grenade would totally wipe something out, or you mean?
Well, if a bullet hits anything, that thing can explode.
Like the guys
in the
flame
in real life?
true.
Less cinema would convince you, but this is especially egregious, particularly.
Yeah.
They do, and also they have an excuse at one point where they do lock them up in a cellar full of dynamite. So, and then they start having a firefight. You get the origin, as well as the origin of them meeting up. Yeah, you get the origin of the Zan Tetsukan, as I mentioned, also the Mercedes SSK.
Oh, yeah.
Which they steal from...
Oh, is that like a recurring vehicle?
It is, yeah.
That segment's a bit beyond
the
me.
Same couple of cars.
Oh, right.
It's got the Benz and the Fiat?
Yeah.
It's usually one of those two.
Ah. See, if I had this background knowledge, maybe, I might have had that little bit more appreciation, but I don't know.
Like running, not running gags, but sort of rewards for like longtime fans of the series. Like a lot of the background music is old songs they play a lot in the 70s shows. And like there's little things like Jigen mentioning that he doesn't like dentists, which is, they bring that up a few times. Seems like every time he goes to a dentist, somebody gets like killed. The dentist or somebody else comes in and tries to kill Jigen. Jigen has to kill the guy. Always has bad experiences.
Who doesn't? Who likes the dentist? Who likes the dentist?
That's a good point.
Speaking on behalf of everyone, Jigen.
There's a commentary track as well, which I didn't get a chance to listen to on the DVD by, is it Reed Nelson?
Yeah, he's the guy who runs the Loop on the Third dot com or .net or something forums, and he helps with the Discotech releases of all the specials that they're doing now. I didn't get to listen to the commentary either, but I heard the other one he did on the Fuma conspiracy DVD, and that one was pretty good. It's a lot of interesting background knowledge about the show.
Yeah, which is that would be my second contact with Lupin, was the Fuma conspiracy. My first contact with it, I think I may have mentioned on the show before, was playing a Game Boy game. That's the Game Boy game, which we had no idea was based on a comic or a cartoon of any kind. We thought it was the third in the series of games. Lupin, in fact, what we thought it was. And we had no idea how to play it whatsoever. This was during the peak of the grey import era of video games in the early 90s. People I knew were just buying,
anything.
Yeah, rich parents were just buying anything from, I can't remember what they're called now, Technotronic, I think, or something along those lines. Telegames, that's who they were. And, we played some odd stuff. But that would be my first contact with Lupin. What was your first contact, Aaron?
I saw an AMV which took footage of Inspector Zenigata chasing Lupin from the end of Castle of Cagliostro, and the music was the theme song from Inspector Gadget.
Oh, and God.
I thought it was like some... a Japanese adaptation of Inspector Gadget or something.
That would have been so awesome.
And so it took me a while to figure out what it actually was, but then I there was this store near my house that used to sell old VHS tapes of anime, and so I got in, and they were all really cheap, so I got a whole bunch of series through that store, like Dirty Pear and Cutie Honey, Bubblegum Crisis, and Lupin. I think the first one I saw was the Fuma Conspiracy one, and I really liked it, so then I bought some of the comics and started buying the DVDs of the TV show, because that was just about the time they were being dubbed and shown on Cartoon Network, I think.
My problem with the Fuma Conspiracy was because I came into anime watching it regularly through Eurosight Zero. I was like, oh, it's Ataru doing the voice of Lupin.
Then
it was like, oh, that's the only time he ever did
something. Yeah, I was disappointed by that too.
Was it some sort of
contract?
Was it a contract squabble or something that they had to get?
I think what happened was they decided with that special to sort of arrange the budget differently. So they pumped a lot of money into the animation, so it looks really good, but they didn't have enough money to hire the usual voice cast or the usual music composer, Yuji Ono. So they decided to get somebody else, and because they weren't the regular cast, they were able to get them cheaper. And then after that, I think there was some long-standing resentment from the usual guy who played Lupin, who he thought that he'd been like personally slighted or something. So he got kind of angry at the producers for that, I think. But he came back to the role after, and the next thing they did.
And what about you, Anthony? What was your first?
Well, I wasn't as confused as you youngsters. I knew exactly what I was watching. But my first experience was actually, I didn't even know which special or film it's from, actually, because a friend, when I was first getting into anime, he was like, oh, check this out. Now, I can't remember why we didn't watch it all. I think he fast-forwarded through a tape, and it was of Lupin tweaking someone's nipple. And that was like my first exposure, and then after that was Cagliostro, so yeah. Bit of a bizarre one for me, but I knew exactly what it was. I didn't think it was a third game or an Inspector Gadget adaptation, but would both be very good. But, I don't know, which one would it be if he's tweaking a breast? Is that a...
I think that is the end of Secret of Mamo. That's the only time I can think of.
Oh, right. Well, he did fast-forward very far through, so... possibly
that one's pretty good. I like that one a lot.
And I should say that this origin story, and they do sort of a get out at the end, does not bear any resemblance to any sort of past origin story that is in the earlier animation or even the comics. Even the comics themselves are very They're fluid.
Yeah. The comics are even more standalone episodic than the TV show.
Yeah.
They have, like, no continuity at all. There's, like, sometimes, apparently, every time Fujiko shows up in the early ones, it's supposed to be a different woman who just happens to be named Fujiko.
Yeah, I think that's also because I think in some releases they've gone back and turned characters who were, like, who were, well, that was kind of essentially Fujiko. So let's now go back and recall her Fujiko this time.
I do like the comics, though, but they have no continuity whatsoever. I like that about the origin story thing, that they say, well, this may not be true, but it doesn't really matter, does it? I mean, you don't really need a Lupin origin story.
Yeah.
You kind of just figure out. They all eventually met up with each other and decided to follow Lupin because he's the guy who always knows what's going on.
Yeah, I think in some of the... Because I got two more early volumes for, off eBay, and one of those starts to have... stories of the young Lupin as well, of him being a sort of a teenage thief.
Oh yeah.
So I was surprised they started doing that quite so early on. I was like, sort of predates sort of give the early stories of James Bond, which they're doing now. By
a good... They did some weird offshoots from the regular theme stories in the comics. There was one where there's like a three or four stories in a row where he was in college and Zenigata was like his rival student who's, you know, always trying to stop him from cheating on the tests and getting the students to like form rebellious clubs and stuff like that. It was weird. Like they play fast and loose with the timeline in those ones. They just jump around and suddenly Lupin's like 18 years old and sometimes he's like 30.
Yeah, and they've have you seen any of? I think someone's been doing some scanlations of the is it Lupin Jr., which is
I haven't seen that.
Supposedly about Lupin's son.
Oh, wow.
Which just seems to be an excuse to do some more of those young Lupin stories, but with the rather than having but sort of avoiding the problem of putting in Arsène Lupin and get in trouble again.
You know. Are those done by the same... are those done by Monkey Punch?
I think they are, yes, those ones are.
Oh, okay. So is that called Lupin the Fourth? Or not?
No, I think
I think it's just Lupin Jr.
Oh, right, okay.
Because there was a TV pilot of Lupin the Eighth, wasn't there, as well?
Yeah. Lupin the Eighth?
Yeah,
what, is that, like, set in the future? Really?
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
That one's pretty funny because they sanitized it so that it would be for kids, because I think there was a co-production with Deke or something. So instead of cigarette, Jigen's got a lollipop, and instead of like a regular gun, they all shoot lasers and stuff. It's pretty strange.
Well, it looks strange as well. Just
if I recall, I think his hair is like Lupin's hair is a bit weird looking too.
He's got it's got like a I don't even know what you'd call like a tuft almost like more of a tufty feel about it than.
I don't know if I would have liked that one if they actually continued with it, but they only did the pilot. I don't know if they even finished the whole pilot.
Looks a bit iffy.
In 1999, we did get Sherlock Holmes in the 22nd century from Deep and Scottish television. Which I vaguely remember. Anything else you want to add about the film, you two?
I think it does a good job of sort of pulling back from a little bit from the formula that they were working with in the specials for a long time before this. Because for 10 years, they would, you know, the formula would be to like take a James Bond story but put Lupin into it. So, you know, for once, you don't have some villain who wants to take over the world and like actually focus on the characters. I think they realized they were kind of getting into a rut with those 90s specials. And this, like, with this, their aim wasn't just to do an origin story, but to do, like, a smaller scaled story, too. So I think it works pretty well in that respect.
Mm. Yeah, it was all right. It was all right. The next one I watch better be better, put it that way.
The next one you'll watch is Operation Return the Treasure.
Ooh, and what year is that from?
That'll be the 2003 one we do.
Ah, got you. Right.
Which I think has some of the most blatant James Bond references in it.
Oh,
awesome.
I haven't seen too many of the 2000s ones. Most of the specials I saw, just the ones that Funimation put out. But the 90s ones were generally not very good. I heard the 2000 ones are a little bit better.
I quite like Operation Return the Treasure because, again, it does similar thing with First Contact and using real world settings quite well. So it ends at La Sagrada Familia in Barcelona. That's sort of where the final scene takes place.
Mm.
And it uses that setting really well. But yeah, they're a mixed bag, as always. But I don't think they're quite... I think they're generally of a higher quality than the mixed bag, which was the 90s ones.
Some of those ones were pretty iffy.
I've not seen all of them yet. I think Stolen Lupin, I've seen that. That's where someone's after the all the valuables that Lupin stole in his career. Angel Tactics, which is that's got some dodgy sexual politics in it. Elusiveness of the Fog. That's one which is very much like an old style Lupin. Involves a time machine.
Oh, cool.
In fact, it involves I think the same time machine from the 70s series.
Does he go in the future and meet Lupin the Eighth?
the main problem the later ones have is that Goro Nio, is that the guy's name who plays Zenigata?
Yeah.
His voice is going because he had throat cancer.
They keep trying to write out, they would sort of come up with a reason that Zenigata couldn't be part of the action for each special.
Yeah.
That's so he'd only have like 5 minutes of screen time or something.
Oh, he's one of the best characters.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Well, you have a new Zenigata now, so.
Mm-hmm.
And what's he like?
Pretty good job.
Oh, does he?
He was in the Fujiko series.
Yeah. And yeah, the Eternal Mermaid from last year.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I think the new cast is doing pretty well.
Yeah.
All the replacements that they got.
Yeah, I think so. Right.
If there's
nothing else.
Wasn't a big. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I wasn't a big fan of the that Fujiko series, but. Yeah, I think the cast was probably one of the best things about it, along with the art.
Yeah, I should really probably watch that. I've only seen the first episode.
So... got a week, we're going to record our best of 2012.
I know, but I've got a list. Don't worry, I've got a list. I'm checking it twice. That was a different tune for that song, wasn't it?
That was. Got very nervous because I've been going through. I went through every anime news network top 10, TV top 10.
What, is it like an inspiration or...?
No, to figure out what anime shows people are actually watching in Japan.
Oh, right, okay.
And also the Blu-ray sales to find out which ones people are actually buying in any great number. So we'll talk about that as well. On that episode. So if there's nothing else to add about... So anyway, do you want to wrap up? Would you recommend people watch this?
I think if you like Lupin, this is one of the better Lupin specials. But I think the 70s stuff is still the best Lupin. So if you were going to watch them, you should watch that. And then once you get through those, this is the next best thing, I think.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, I mean, as you say, if you like Lupin... probably why not? You know, why not watch it? It's only an hour and a half or something. It's not like you're investing too much time in it. It's got some all right bits, so yeah.
Yeah, I'd say it's one of the best TV specials. Because of the reason I said that you've got the problem with less Zenigata in the later ones in the 2000s. And some gimmicky ones which might not appeal to everybody, like... Lupin the Third versus Detective Conan and Green versus Red. I think it was an OAV though, Green versus Red wasn't it? Yeah. And Return of the Magician from the same year, that was the OAV, which I don't think people didn't go down too well from what I remember.
That one brings back a villain from the first series, right?
Yeah, it's Return of Pikal.
Oh yeah.
And
I don't even really remember from the first series, I just remember hearing that, but I think I've watched most of it. I still haven't got any distinct memories of that character.
I think I did because I saw this Return of the Magician first, and I was like,
So then you were looking out for him when you watched that series?
Yes, I was. Yeah, and well, I'd read the chapter of him in the manga as well.
He was in the manga too.
Yeah, he's in those first six episodes from the very first series.
Right. Oh yeah, I think I remember that episode.
Yeah, the guy who's on fire all the time.
Yeah, I like that episode.
Yeah, and that episode's it's fairly true to the comic, but it doesn't have the bottom related punchline that the comic does. Where Lupin covers himself in the same substance, but forgets to cover his backside. Sets himself on fire and then realizes his bum's on fire.
There's too much Lupin to watch. I don't like it. If there was less to watch, I would be more willing to have a pop at watching it all.
And it's never going to stop, Anthony.
Oh, it's just like this endless cycle. This snake eating its own tail.
Monkey Punch wants him to be like a character like Spider-Man or Batman, where he's just going to be immortal. So,
I love the idea of that, but take a few years off, let me catch up a little bit, and then bring him back. Why not?
It was only one a year. What are you worried about?
Yeah, but there's all the series stuff, and I'd probably like the series a lot better than the specials, to be honest.
Yeah, I think the part of the problem with the specials is that because they only do them one a year, they feel like there are certain things that they always have to do in them, just so that people get their, you know, whatever they're looking for that year.
On fix.
I think so if they did them maybe either more frequently or didn't make them full-length movies, I think they might have a little more freedom to not be so repetitive.
Right, so let's wrap this up with my game.
Oh, I forgot there was a game.
Yeah.
Awesome.
It's a game called Lupin or No Man. So I'm going to give you some titles of either episodes or films, and you've got to tell me whether they are from they are Lupin or No Man. They're not Lupin. And if you get a bonus point, if you say No Man and tell me what TV show it actually belongs to.
And these are episode titles or...
Episode or film titles.
Okay, then. Let's do this.
Okay, Aaron, you got to go first.
Okay.
So, The Secret of the Mystery Painting, The First Supper. Is that Lupin or No Man?
Please, you got
No
this
Man?
One.
I'm afraid that is wrong. It is Lupin.
Oh.
Okay.
Ooh.
Anthony.
Yes.
Chance to take a rare early lead. Beware the time machine.
Say that again?
Beware the time machine. Is that Lupin or No Man?
Well, you've just been talking about the time machine one, but I don't know. Is this a total... I'm going to say Lupin.
You're correct.
Yes.
Okay, Aaron. Cigar Case of Good Fortune. Is that Lupin or No Man?
Cigar Case of Good Fortune?
Yes.
No Man.
You're correct. You want to have a guess at what show it actually comes from?
City Hunter, maybe? I don't know.
No, it is Detective Conan. Okay. Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
Steal the Chinese Iron Chef. That Lupin or No Man?
No Man.
You're correct.
Do you have a
shot at...
Oh, God. I have no clue.
Okay, it's from a show called Saint Tale.
Beyond me.
It's about a magical girl, phantom thief. Okay, Aaron. Castle at the Bottom of the Ocean.
No Man.
You're correct. Do you want to take a guess at what show that's from?
No, I have no idea.
It's from Chico, heiress of the Phantom Thief.
That old chestnut.
Yeah.
And animated by a lot of people who worked on Lupin stuff, if I remember correctly.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah, it was a TMS Madhouse thing.
Oh, I'd never heard of that.
Okay, Anthony, elusiveness of the fog.
I'm going to say Lupin.
Well, you should do, because I mentioned it earlier.
Yeah. Fails to pay attention.
Okay, Aaron, the old man hostage rescue operation.
I think that's Lupin.
You're correct. Okay, Anthony, challenge from the Rembrandt Committee.
No, man.
You're correct. Do you want to have a guess at what show it's from?
No, man, I don't.
It's a show called Gallery Fake.
Ah.
Which is like an animated version of Lovejoy.
Ooh.
Okay, Aaron. Sinbad, you liar.
No, man.
You're correct. Do you want to have a shot at what show that's from?
Popeye.
No, it's from... It's from Kamikaze Kaito Jean.
Oh.
another magical girl Phantom Thief, who is also the reincarnation of Joan of Arc, if I remember correctly.
Ooh. Someone's popular there getting texts.
So that's just an extra part of her character. She just happens to be the reincarnation of Joan of Arc.
I think so. I don't think I've seen... I vaguely remember it from Con's past. I think it was
That one sounds weird.
Popular. Mm-hmm. Okay, Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
The mysterious nightlight mask appears.
I'm going to say no, man.
You are wrong.
Oh, damn it.
Lupin. Okay, Aaron, your last one. My foe is a beautiful lady. The biggest woman trap in history.
The biggest what trap in history?
Woman trap in history.
Oh, okay. I'm going to say no, man.
I think it's Lupin. Oh, he's right. Damn.
You have a shot at, I guess, at what the show's from?
No clue.
It's from City Hunter. Want to go ahead?
Oh, what a shame.
Just kept guessing City Hunter. Eventually it would have worked.
Okay, chance to draw here.
Oh, damn. Pressure is on.
Revenge of the Gold Butterfly.
No, man.
I'm afraid you're wrong.
Yes.
Damn it. Oh, man.
Aaron, you are the winner of Lupin or No Man.
Yes.
Oh, damn
good
it.
Good game, Anthony.
Oh, it wasn't. It wasn't. Oh, I think it was a fix. Oh,
I was just trying to figure out which shows have titles which sound like Lupin the Third. So I was looking for ones which were based on thieves and other stuff from TMS, which was might have similar titles. Right, that's your lot. Aaron, anything you want to plug?
Well, I've got my YouTube channel, which is AALong64, and my blog, which is AaronLongCartoons.com, and I should have another cartoon coming out in a couple of weeks, or a couple of weeks from when this episode comes out, so look out for that, I guess.
What's hopefully a 64 for? What is a 64 all about?
Nintendo 64.
Oh,
and because
okay.
AALong, I think, was already taken.
Ah, okay.
Oh. Anthony, are you commentating on any more video game champion tournament?
I don't want to get into this. I didn't end up doing it. What a letdown. I didn't end up commentating.
So you could have come on an Azumanga Daioh episode.
No, I was at the tournament.
Oh.
And I was kind of like at someone's house. We were streaming this late night hours and I was commentating on that, but not on the actual tournament. I just want to plug Twitter and Twitter, which is AntAskew, and my Twitch account, which is AntAskew as well, which I'm playing more games and not finishing games. So I feel like a monkey punch doing more Lupin. So I'm starting a game and never finish. I just bought Mass Effect, so let's see how long that takes us to finish.
And do you want to weigh in on Azumanga Daioh before we wrap up? What little you saw of it?
I still think it's overrated. I haven't listened to the episode yet because I wasn't a bit like I haven't been home basically this weekend properly. So so overrated show. Maybe if I finally finish it, I might change my mind. But at the moment, it's overrated.
Too girly for you?
It's not too anything. It's just... If it was too girly, it would be all right. It would have some substance, whereas at the moment it's pretty bland, I think. I think it's just random rubbish.
And you can find me on Twitter at awesome_engine and my own website, awesome-engine.com. You can find out more about that ginger cat I was mentioning in earlier. And as always, you can find this podcast on dynamiteinthebrain.com, on facebook.com/dynamiteinthebrain. Dynamite and the brain? No, dynamite in the brain.
Dynamite in the brain, brain.
It's going to be dynamite in the brain. And on iTunes. So why not subscribe and write us a review so more people can find out about the jewel that is Dynamite in the Brain. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Your life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain.